Welcome to episode 119 of Offbeat Tracks. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Danielle.
My name's Max.
Also, I just realized we have a superlative thing coming up.
We do.
I did not think about it until right now.
Don't worry, I've got a good idea. We're gonna talk about it after the show. So yeah, today we are doing Tuesday on a Monday. That's what's happening.
Tuesday on a Monday.
We are talking about a lady named Tuesday Knight.
Not her given name.
Not her given night. Although
got her given name.
I thought
Knight is her given name.
Knight is her given name. I thought that it was her real name because, like, I have a buddy named Tuesday.
I kind of really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I thought is a good question? If you were going to pick a name and they're like, you have a manager, it's like, it better be a day of the week. What would be your day of the week that you'd pick?
I mean, Sunday is kind of a cool name.
Sunday, I think, is mine. Sunday is a good day. I like it. You can't do Friday because it's like French fries and a terrible restaurant.
Thursday TGI. And Saturday don't work well as names.
Monday, mine.
I mean, Wednesday's.
I love a MM.
Wednesday is cute because Wednesday Adams.
Yeah.
You know, Tuesday and Wednesday are the cutest, I think.
Like
Tuesday
that.
Is a very cute name. Mm-hmm. So good choice on her part. Her real name is Melody, if anyone's curious.
This is a good name, too.
Yes, but
for music.
Tuesday's cuter.
Yeah, I guess.
She finding biographical information about her, is especially her early life, is very difficult.
It's very strange.
I did find out that she is the daughter of a composer named Baker Knight. Oh, so music was in the blood.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she grew up in L.A., I think.
She's most known for being an actress and kind of a scream queen, I guess.
Mm-hmm. She was always kind of bubbling under. She was never a star by any means, but she was in stuff.
No, but for people who like horror films, and we all know, like, there's a very militant cult
they
following for horror films. You know,
I am
all
not
these
in it.
Conventions. That's like where her fan base chiefly is, because she was in A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. Playing the role that Patricia Arquette had played, trying to nail down her music career is a little bit odd because she, on her own website, refers to her self-titled album Tuesday Knight as her debut. But that's very obviously not true, as there are two albums preceding it that came out in 1985 and 86, respectively, both of which are on Spotify and purchasable on her website. Even though she calls the self-titled one her debut, I don't understand this.
She is an enigma.
Okay, so the deal is, she had this album in 1985 called Little Things, which we are going to completely gloss over. It's kind of a rocky, edgier thing. If you want to listen to it, it's on Spotify. Have at it. We are, however, going to talk about her 1986 album, Don't Talk Back, because it is delicious pop music. And we're definitely going to talk about her 1987 self-titled album, because more delicious pop music, and also the one that most people know who know Tuesday Knight's music.
Tuesday Knight comes out with Don't Talk Back in what, 86?
1986.
I was getting confused because there's like 86 and 87. It's very confusing. Yes, 1986. And it's a good little pop dance tune.
It is.
Very in the vein of all those people who sound like
this
Madonna.
This is the title track we're discussing, in case that wasn't clear.
Don't Talk Back. First single was Don't Talk Back.
Which is so 80s, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how 80s is that title? From the get-go.
Exactly. If you are thinking about talking back to her, she has made it clear.
Sir, you should reconsider your plans. Pull out your Technotronic planner and jot down, do not talk back to Tuesday Knight.
She doesn't give you a time frame either, so never.
No time frame. That's very ambiguous.
Yes. It's a good little synthy dance tune. It's very in the vein of like the 1986-ish. So many single pop ladies who like get compared to Madonna with their little dance tunes and don't go as far as Madonna. And are different than Madonna, but it sounds like that. She kind of lumps into that thing for me.
Heart on Fire. This was an interesting choice for you. Danielle picked the ones we were going to talk about from this album.
I'm going to be honest. I can't tell if I like this stuff or if I hate it. I do find it incredibly forgettable, but
so
I kind of like it.
I'm going to tell you why I give this song props, other than the delicious DX7 bass, which is delightful.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
When you listen to these songs, you know, to a lot of pop music,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, Heart's on Fire. And like when I'm listening to it, I'm kind of internally rolling my eyes going, okay, here comes the rhyme with desire. And it never happened. She didn't rhyme fire with desire. And I was so pleased by that simple fact that I grew to really like this song because of that.
I'll tell you what, like, that is a low expectation. Well,
and it was met. My expectation was exceeded. I'm very pleased by that.
No, I mean, I like, it's a good little dance tune. I can't tell if it has any sort of memorability to it at all, because I know I listened to it at least 7 times and I could not sing any of it back every time I did it. I feel like she's trying so hard to be like, have an edge, and it's not working. I don't know. It's just interesting, but it's a cute little song. You know. Okay, I love this song, Under Your Spell. Not because it's particularly great. It's not. It's just a sweet little pop song. But I love when they do, and I've talked about it before, I love the 80s songs that mock like the 60s pop.
Thank you for saying that, because I have jotted down it. It sounds like a mid-tempo 70s pop song to me.
Yeah, it's like, I love when they bring that back, and the Brits did it so
well. I'm glad. I thought I was going bonkers or something listening to it. I was like, what is this doing on an 80s album? Because it sounds like an older pop song, yeah.
I love it, and it's like not particularly, like, again, it's not particularly great. It's not going to change your world. But if you turn it on, you're going to bop a little bit, because it's just a cute little sweet pop song sounding like an old sweet pop song. And I appreciate that every time someone does it.
We're really having a big struggle with our own language today.
Anyway, I really like when someone does it, particularly not the British, because the British did it all the time. And we need Americans to do it, because this is our world. I'm going to be honest, I put this next one on it because it's so awful.
Oh my gosh. Well, you knew there had to be a ballad.
Yeah. And I mean, it just...
When You're Gone is that ballad.
Everything sounds so alike on this album. That, like, and it's so like kind of the same kind of pop forgettable stuff. And it's so like that when you get to When You're Gone, you're just like, oh, brother.
Right.
And so we're going to talk about it. It's like a weird little like cheesy R&B-ish slow song. Ballad thing. It sounds to me like if you make a bad movie now and you do a retroactive of your senior prom in 1987, this is the slow dance song that you use.
Yes.
It's not what you would have actually slow danced to in 87, but to make a point now, you would put it as your retro song. And that's what it sounds like. And it's
very
like
insightful.
It sounds like now like a parody of those songs, even though it was of the time. And that's however you want to take it. Come on, smile, don't let me down. It's coming straight from my heart. So I'll never give up. Ain't gonna let you go. Cause it's not enough. And I want you to know. I see it when you sing a song. The magic stays here when you're gone.
So now we're going to move forward 1 year and talk about the album that she calls her debut, but that very obviously wasn't, as we just played a lot
maybe
of music that came out before it.
She has some weird amnesia.
Or maybe problems. maybe those were like, I don't know. Maybe the other ones didn't get released until later. I don't know. It's all very confusing. Yeah. But anyway, this is the self-titled Tuesday Night album from 1987 that we're going to talk about now, including the first single from it, and technically, I guess, the only single she had released until 2014, which we're going to talk about.
Yep.
This song is called Out of Control. And boy, is it some serious 80s pop going on here.
Yeah. I mean, I really like it. I do have an issue with, it's like a weird little story song kind of. But I mean, it's not about anything other than like, I'm getting it out of control. Like, but like, she like sets up this whole scene. She sets up this whole scene at the beginning where she was like talking about.
The face you made was funny. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Tuesday. No, it's fine. It's just they set up the scene and they're like, oh yeah, it's an out of control party, but it's like on Park Avenue. And I'm like, has she ever been to New York? Who's going to a crazy party in on the Upper East Side? Like, maybe
materialism was in the 80s.
Maybe like one rich person is like sneaking coke in the bathroom or something, but like still that's boring. And I mean, this is like pre-Giuliani cleaning up the city too. If you want an out of control party, you had so many choices.
So many.
Not in the Upper East Side.
Why are you going, right? Why are you going to Park Avenue?
And I realize that I'm overthinking a cheesy pop song about wanting to get out of control.
Again, I don't know why I feel like I have to say this to you a lot, but that's what we do here.
I know, I guess. But I'm just like, if you really want to get out of control, don't go to the Upper East Side.
So temporary obsession was one you wanted to talk about. I'll tell you why I love this. Mm-hmm. You know I love a really solid 80s lyric.
Ooh.
But if you want this body, you got to trash your past.
Exactly.
That's is why I so like it. Good. See, that's so good.
I don't care about the song. It's fine. It's good pop music. Whatever. Take it or leave it. You either like it or you don't.
So good.
But I love in a song that's like, in particular that line that's like, okay, look, buddy. Keep it in the past. Leave that baggage at the door. I'm not doing it. And yeah, that's exactly the thing. I love the sentiment. And it is most 80s-ly done there.
The most 80s-ly done. Who the hell was expecting this? A Prince cover. Like, what?
I don't know. She's, like, trying to get some, like, sexy edge.
Yeah, so she covers the Prince song, Why You Wanna Treat Me So Bad. Even the song choice is, like, already for Tuesday night to cover Prince, it's kind of like, okay. Yeah. And then you pick Why You Wanna Treat Me So Bad, it's like, okay. Like, sure, girl, go ahead. Like,
if you wanna.
Like, I mean, it's not bad.
Not terrible.
Her singing voice isn't strong, but like, it's an interesting take on the song, I guess.
Like her, I feel like she's trying to be something she's not. To sing this song, I don't know. Like even when she does it,
you're very concerned that Tuesday night is betraying her identity.
No, I just think like she doesn't have the voice for it. Not that her voice is terrible, but it's like she keeps trying to do things that are some sort of edge that she doesn't have. And I don't know exactly what her edge should be, but it's not here. Like, you have to have some sort of, you do a Prince song.
Well, keep in mind, she's 18 years old here, so you are dealing with an awkward teenager. Nah. Who, you know, 18-year-old's like...
to an 18-year-old. I mean, I thought I was sexy when I was 18, but I bet if I would have done a Prince cover, it would have been, that would not have been my edge.
No.
Maybe it's just...
Weird flex. weird flex Tuesday. Weird flex, but okay. That's just sort of that really kind of sums up basically how I feel about her entire career. Weird flex, but okay.
Really, it's most of the things that we talk about on the show are weird flex, but okay.
Thank you. So now we move to 1988. And this is when Nightmare on Elm Street 4 is out. Tuesday Night gets to sing the what effectively is the theme song of this movie.
Yep.
And it is called
the intro, right?
Yeah, it plays over the credits. It's called Nightmare. Interestingly enough, it is in the movie, right? And they release a soundtrack for this film that has like Go West and Divinyls and Blondie, but it doesn't have the Tuesday Night song. So
they're haters.
So what happened here is people spent years like loving this song, but without really having any way to listen to it other than listening to it in the movie.
Yeah.
When I made this friend named Brandon when I started really getting into kind of underground 80s music collection right when I started college, and he's the one who first introduced me to Tuesday Night, and he'd brought this up, and have you ever seen this Nightmare on Elm Street movie? And I went, yeah, actually, you know, one of my RAs liked it, and we just watched a bunch of them, and he's like, well, there's, you know, she did this song Nightmare over the credits. And he's like, you know, I like it, but it's never been released. And here he sends me this MP3 where he had like cut it out from the DVD. And the audio is just like, it's total garbage. And it cuts off at an awkward part because that's where it cuts off. Like, yeah, when you're watching it in the movie. But anyway, so after years and years and years and years of people asking for that, fast forward to 2014, it finally gets a proper single release. And not just like the song by itself either. They did physical copies of it. They did a bunch of different mixes of it. And you can still buy this. It's on Tuesday's website and other places, I'm sure, as well. But yeah, there are like, this is actually a legitimate single that finally got released. And it sounds really good.
It does sound good.
I don't know how they like went back to the master tapes and did it, but they
sure,
like,
somebody had them.
It is remastered and out. And finally, in proper quality, we can all hear Nightmare. And like, as,
whether you want to or not.
As horror themes go, like, it's a good song.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about horror themes. I just know I hate all horror movies and anything that comes from them, especially the people who are like, oh, I love it, it's so good. I hate that.
Why are we even doing this? You wanted to do this episode then.
Oh, no, I'll get to why.
Okay.
She popped in my head. Yeah, it's an okay song. It's fine. To me, it's not what she should be known for, but that's cool. Whatever gets you the money at HorrorCon.
I love it. It's got those delicious, like, industrial noises that belong, you know, in 80s horror
it's
movie soundtracks.
It's cheesy in the right way. Okay, so this is when things start getting a little bit sketchy for Tuesday Night. She's just like making weird appearances in weird acting roles and then releasing just a few songs that are just everywhere. I mean, she does a song called, that I put on here because it's just so cheesy. It's so like 1990 adult contemporary radio with like a young edge, I guess, called Ivory Tower. Which apparently was on some movie that is some like TV movie or something called Mad About You that stars no one you've ever heard of.
Nope.
Yeah, it is not the Helen Hunt, Paul Reiser TV show. It does not look like it has that charm.
So,
oh God.
I'm happy to announce I did the recon on this movie.
Oh my God. I'm so into this.
Okay.
Go.
Wait, did you look this up?
A little bit, but I just like, I was so bored by the cover that I was like, ugh, I have literally anything else to do right now.
Okay.
But I'm glad you did it.
So, I did not like look up the movie and watch any of it.
Thank God.
But I do want to read this summary from IMDb, because if this doesn't make you want to see this movie, oh God.
It probably will not. But
all right.
Okay.
So this is what Ivory Tower is about. Casey, a vice president of her father's company, has nobody in her life.
Also point out, let's just say that there's a woman in power in a corporation in 1990. You think that's good, but it's because her daddy owns the company.
There you go.
Thank you,
so,
feminism.
Casey. Thanks, feminists. God. In case the sarcasm wasn't clear enough.
Yeah, I know. It's like, whatever. I guess whatever gets us there.
So,
daddy.
Casey, a vice president of her father's company, has nobody in her life. But overnight, she meets three eligible bachelors, a preppy old friend, a star quarterback, and a waiter musician. Now, I'm going to pause there because a waiter musician, I was like, is this a musician who also waits tables? Or is it like a waiter who like plays music as he's waiting table? Like his like shtick is like he plays the glasses with the water in them, you know, running his
table. I would think that would be like the guy who plays the violin in Italian restaurants on TV.
So let me tell you, when I'm reading, like that's where the summary cut off and it's like, you know, click here to read more. Uh-huh. And I'm like, well, now I want to read more. I click and there's literally one more sentence and it was this. With the help of her horny friend, she must decide the outcome of the dating game.
Well, first of all, if you take your horny friend with you, she's going to fuck all of them first. So don't bring your horny friend. Bring your reasonable
friend.
There
was always a horny friend in these stupid 80s and 90s
there
movies.
There were. Like, they were always, like, the ones who were like, I'll give them a once-over. Like,
exactly.
That's...
It's like, yeah, settle down, Sheila. You're not helping. Also, I'd like to point out, I kind of buried the lead on this. The dad is played by Adam West. So, yeah.
So is he like a professional quarterback that she's looking at? Because if she's a vice president of a
company.
I
didn't look that far into it.
To me, like a star quarterback to me sounds like high school.
Okay. So Ivory Tower is Tuesday Night's song from this soundtrack.
And it's so cheesy.
Which is why we're talking about it.
And it's so cheesy. And I have nothing else to say about it except that it's in this awful piece of, not crap, film. Film. Okay, also in 1996, because she can't get enough of putting things on weird soundtracks to pieces of pop culture that get forgotten immediately, she does a cover of Every Breath You Take, something no one asked for.
Definitely nobody asked for.
Also a show that I do not remember, and I don't think the people on it remember it either, called The Profiler. And I did look this up the other night about what it's about, but I already forgot. I'm assuming they profile.
When Profiler was on, I would have been way too young to care, but yeah, it's just one of those, like, you know, police procedural things that I remember from
or like law stuff. It's like, right. Basically
the profiler.
Everything.
Call the profiler.
Do you need a profile? I know a profiler.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, this song is, it's something that would have been on a mid 90s soundtrack to something that was immediately forgotten. And then I will also say, as far as the acting roles, and this is how I Tuesday Night popped up in my head. I was on a Wikipedia deep dive of like cheesy, weird actresses and TV shows everyone forgot. And in 1992, she starred as, I believe, Drew Barrymore's sister in the Drew Barrymore, Lisa Hartman, Jennifer Beals TV show 2000 Malibu Road,
nice.
Done by Aaron Spelling, which
boy, that's a throwback.
Which, like, not really anybody watched. It was canceled after 6 episodes, but it was really because Aaron Spelling produced the show and ended up getting put against Melrose Place, another Aaron Spelling show. And he was like, I'm kind of done competing with myself. And then everyone lost their jobs because Aaron Spelling was a monster. A genius monster, but a monster. Okay.
By the way, I wanted to mention the Nightmare single that came out a few years ago. I have great news for you if you were really into that song, Ivory Tower, or if you loved that very lovely cover of Every Breath You Take. Both of those are included on that Nightmare.
Max loves it. Write it down. Put it on the record.
Both of those are included in that Nightmare single release. It's like 14 tracks of stuff. But Ivory Tower and her cover of Every Breath You Take, somehow she got the rights to release
Thank
that.
Thank God so. Those weren't lost in the pop cultural.
And I think the Prince cover is in there too.
Oh, good.
So there you go.
Hooray.
So yeah, that's Tuesday Night's music career.
Then she,
you are brought up to date on that. I think she may have released another album in the early 2000s, but
I can't tell.
Whatever.
Like it's, I don't know. Anyway,
she spends a lot of her time now at these horror conventions because that's what she's most known for.
Why wouldn't you?
Like again, you know, that's kind of a very close knit community, I guess. I don't know the right way to say it, but they're very appreciative of the fan base and whatnot. So you know, I watched some dude interviewing her at a convention just up the road in Lexington, actually, just last year. And you know, you could tell he was nervous as hell, and he was excited to be talking to her. But she was very kind to him, and at the end, you're just like, "This guy's the best interviewer." And it was just, it's very sweet. Aww. She just seems like such a nice lady.
Yeah, she also in the 2000s was a jewelry designer.
Yeah, we were.
She might still be.
I was gonna get to that. So we have to talk about her bizarre jewelry business.
It's 2000s when everyone had a jewelry line. Oh my god, yes. And a dumb perfume. And it's like so 2000s. She's a jewelry designer, particularly for Britney Spears, who became her friend.
That's
and
right.
I don't understand it. And when Britney went through a little kerfuffle, her hiccups of 2007, if you will.
That's a good way to put
her
it.
Her glorious hiccups. They Inside Edition interviewed Tuesday night about it. Because I don't think Britney has a lot of friends. I don't think Britney has a lot of friends. We could talk about this another thing. I have a lot of worries about Britney Spears. Shut up. I have a lot of worries. I am sticking to it. I have a lot of worries about Britney's personal life and her friends and the conservatorship.
Well,
anyway,
luckily,
this is part of it. Anyway, she has one friend, and it's, of all people, a jewelry designer, former 2000 Malibu Road actress and Ivory Tower singer, Tuesday night. And
I don't know why that was so funny.
Anyway, so she's like, God,
I hope that's her official title on her business card. Oh, God. Okay, sorry, go on.
Anyway, so I'm going to put this on the website, but it's like an interview of chick on Inside Edition,
talking to Tuesday night about her good buddy Britney Spears.
It was like right after the VMA performance, and so everyone's worried. They were like, "Did you?"
Right.
It was right after they were like, "Did you design any jewelry for it?" And Tuesday night, I think, is pretending everything's normal and fine, even though everyone else knows that something's not normal and
right.
fine. By the way, that was Britney Spears' best album. I will stand by it forever. Wow. I still love it to this day.
Was that In the Zone?
Blackout was Gimme More. That is a front to back great album. Freak Show, track 7, because I still remember the CD, was the bomb. Also, that's not the point of what we're talking about here. The point is she's just like, did you design jewelry for her? She's like, yeah, totally. And they're like, is she okay? And she's like, she's fine.
She's fine. She's fine.
She's fine. She's just hanging out with her kids. She's such a good mom. I'm sorry.
That's a really bad Tuesday night impression.
I know, but it's just like one of the, I'm trying to do, it's poor just thing. Like this thing where she's like, everything's fine. Britney's fine. She's just shaving her head.
Yeah,
it's
it is
fine.
It is very much like the, you know, haha, everything's fine. This is fine. You know, the little cartoon with the dog sitting in the flaming apartment. Yeah. It is kind of like that.
It is a throwback to that time. If you want to remember what that time was like, this is it.
Uh-huh.
Jewelry designer for the VMA performance, Tuesday night. Anyway, so do you have anything else to say about Tuesday night?
I don't. She did release a new album in 2017 called Uncovered. She mentioned this in the interview that I mentioned where the dude was talking to her.
She's done two covers. Is it more covers?
That's a good question. But I can tell you she does do covers. She is in a Blondie tribute band. Did you know this?
No.
According to her official website, she's in a Blondie tribute band called Rapture. Which is just cute and fine.
Depending on how you want to do a Blondie cover band, that could either be really bad or really good. Depends on what you do.
Right.
Depends on how you approach it. It's either really good or really bad. That's one of those artists to do.
Yes. Hmm. Anyway, she seems like just a very lovely person, and she's very happy doing these little horror conventions. Also, and I'm glad that she still gets to do music, because it's kind of, I think music maybe was kind of like her first love, right? Because think about it, the parent who was the composer, and then the albums coming out before she was in the movie. So it's almost like the movie thing was the backup plan.
Yeah,
And so it's cool that she's getting to do music again and releasing music, because it does seem like that's kind of what she wants to do.
Yeah, there's also going to be something for the that's going to be on the website.
I kind of feel like maybe a lot of people don't talk to her about her music. No. You know?
I mean, to me, it's unless you look for it, it's not really, other than Nightmare, unless you look for it, it's hard to find.
That's right.
It's not that it's hard to find, but It's one of those things you're not going to find unless you look for it and you know to look for it.
Thankfully, now it is much easier to find.
Yes.
You can find all of her albums on Spotify and in as best quality as you're going to get for those first two. But you can listen to her entire catalog there, and it's all for sale on her website, which is TuesdayNight.com.
Yes. We didn't say and we're yet. Also going to put something on the show page, which is a live performance of her doing Nightmare on 2017.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Which I really like, because I'm telling you what, like, you know, she's singing live. And it's really good. She has a really good voice.
Yes.
It's very good. Also, to note on that video, I really love anyone who does not listen to directions of put your cell phones away. So it was filmed by someone who is not good at following directions.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to you.
It was kind of. I don't know what was up with that.
But he was hiding it.
Well, I mean, I don't know why they didn't want people to video it. Like, maybe it was supposed to be a surprise that the single was going to come out, because I don't know. Anyway, she's a lovely person.
She's lovely.
Yes.
I don't know if she's lovely. Still friends with Brittany.
Glad with you. Yeah, that's my next question.
If I knew Brittany, I'd ask her, but then I would not be here because I'd be way cooler.
That's right.
I would not be here.
I hope they are still friends. I hope they're buddies. And I hope that Tuesday was like the rock that got her through 2007. Yeah, I just like to...
She had nobody else in
I would
corner.
Like to believe that that was her thing.
You know, so, Justin Timberlake's just...
So if you ever get sad...
the whole time.
That's right. So if asshole. if you ever get sad about Britney Spears, just know she had one friend in 2007 and it was Tuesday Night.
And not Kevin Federline.
That's right.
Anyway, so if you want to listen to all of our past episodes, we are on the internet with a website. Offbeattrackscast.com.
Very good.
I remembered it.
We're also on Twitter at offbeattracks.
Yes.
And so please tweet page. Us and message us on Facebook or whatever you would like. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk back to you. And we'll be back next week with a Superlatives episode. Exciting.
Hooray. I'm going to find out what it is very soon.
See you next time.